All right, we're studying Luke 10:42, but we talked about where Martha was troubled, careful and troubled, and it was all about her thoughts. Remember, the word careful means to divide, and then you rank, and that's what your mind does. And then trouble, your mind is troubled, because when you do that, you lose peace. And that's all the mind can do, so therefore the mind can never be at peace. It's always sick, and isn't. Now we're talking about this idea of thoughts and more of what they say. We stopped at Proverbs. Are you got the notes there, Pete? Did we do Proverbs 15? All right, go to Proverbs 15. It's right after Psalms. Well, the one word is that they're used in the Greek, and then for our purposes, is the way we discuss it. The mind is only talking about the conscious mind, the one that gives you self-consciousness, and it's the actions of that one thing, the mind, which are thoughts. And all of those thoughts originate on the seven high places in your mind. And that's where the whore of Babylon is seated.
And at the fall, there was the split.
Before the fall, in my opinion, it's not stated in the scripture, but I think it's obvious that there was no consciousness of self, and so the consciousness of self was possible after God told Adam to name the names. And once the names were named, then he saw separation. And because he saw separation, he wanted to know what is good and evil, what is the right way, what is the wrong way. And so that's when they ate of the fruit, then in order for there to be any hope, the mind, God split the mind. If he didn't split the mind, then you'd have to, your consciousness, you'd know after the fall, you would have to release the right enzymes to digest your food. You'd have to control all of the processes that cause you to be able to see or hear. And so God...
All the automatics.
Well, yeah, all the things that are done without thought or the subconscious. Okay. Okay, this one's for you then. Proverbs, one verse, Mr. Buckner. The thoughts of the wicked one are abomination to the Lord.
Verse 26.
You got that one?
What's the context?
But the words of the pure are pleasant words. All right, let's go to Isaiah 55. And, we've been studying this, and this just scratches the surface about what the Bible says about thoughts. And there, you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You cast down imagination. Anyway, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked one forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. All men are unrighteous, and all are wicked, so there's no thoughts. And let him return, Shub, unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Amen. Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web, and he that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. And it has to be that way. See, remember, iniquity is avin, self-seeking. Their thoughts can be nothing but iniquity because you were made that way. Now, that doesn't excuse you. That's why repentance is the only way out. You cannot learn and understand about Scripture by your thoughts, because your thoughts will always turn the Scripture to your benefit. Paul said, I learned this not of man. I consulted with no man. Neither did anyone else. Speaking truth. Because the best, the most incredible, the most wisest there is can't break through the veil, because they're using that which is cursed to gain that which That's the best any of us can do.
That too, yeah.
All right, let's go to Isaiah 65. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. Now think about that. Do you think that's true? It was true for me. I don't know what's true for you. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. Because otherwise, you will try to come to him by your will. And that's called will worship. It's called empty and futile. And behold, and wait a minute. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walk in their way that was not good, after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in the gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Now, this thing is becoming very popular. Stand by thyself, come not near to me. Now, there's all kinds of, not just televangelists, all kinds of people, ministers who are conducting services, but that's their policy. Chilton even had a line drawn in the, down the, wherever he was in the building at their office. And if he was, you couldn't walk on the same side. You had to go to the other side of the hallway. Couldn't touch him because he, quote unquote, lose his anointing. Same for Copeland. Same for Benny Hinn. Same for a whole bunch of others I won't go into, but it's you're going to lose your anointing because you, what the hell does that mean? That's like the, well, it's a smoke in the nose of God. A fire that burneth all the day. All right.
You know, I bet they were using that where the woman touched the hem of his garment.
Oh, yeah.
And
she sought the wings. Remember?
Sought the wings of French?
No. They were called the wings, and there were the blue, the riband of blue.
Yeah.
And that was the fulfillment of the law. She wasn't unique in, wanting to touch his. All of them believed that if you touch that hem of the garment, that would be salvation. If you had needs. It's the same as, a lot of people do weird things like that. You have to have a certain procedure. You have to have something that, it's just man's imagination. But hers was real because she saw by what she did, and we could study this all day, but she acknowledged him as Messiah. Not just by words, but by her action. All right. Let's go to, we're going to spend a minute on Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is this house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. But, I should have a but there, but he that killeth an ox, he was killing an ox for the sacrifice. You understand? He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense is as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Now why? What's going on? The lamb, the ox, the sacrifice, the oblation, all required by the law. But Isaiah saw that those things were only a parable of Jesus Christ. And if they were doing it for their own sake, to keep themselves alive, then it's as if they drank swine's blood. Doesn't matter where, and it still doesn't matter where. As long as you're trying to use the Hanukkah lamp for you, in any way, burneth incense is your prayers. As if we blessed an idol. Because they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Does anybody understand that? So therefore, he said, I will also choose their delusions. I will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that which is in which I delighted not. Now, you know, again, when 99% of the people read this, they're reading it and say, well, that's what those guys back there did. No, that's what you and I do. That's what the man does. Until you see that every one of the words and jots and tittles of all of that was only about Jesus Christ, and to come to him requires your death. Anything else might as well be screw on a pig. Where did that come from? That's maybe the worst one I've ever said.
That's
pretty epic.
One of them.
One.
We'll try not to hold it again.
But you will remember it.
What was the context of that comment?
You that try to keep yourself alive in the name of Jesus. In any way. It's big. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Now listen to this next one. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. In other words, on the day of Pentecost, a nation was created, boom, that never existed. That had nothing to do with no reference to anything in time and space. And only those that are born from above, born from the first estate, are part of that. That's very easy to become part of it. You have to see the stupidity and emptiness of your thoughts and your actions. Not just yours, otherwise you worship somebody that you think is successful. You see the emptiness and futility of all of mankind. And you accept your death, and his life in you becomes real instead of some stupid religion, some philosophy. And the word becomes flesh in you. Cost you everything. Anything that keeps you alive. Well, that sounds like I should go kill myself. Well, no, that doesn't work either. Do you understand this whole thing? Who shall hear of such thing? A nation shall be brought forth in one day. What, an instant, at once? And the nation is the bride. People. The New Jerusalem. The mother of us all. And all those thoughts about what you're going to do about this or that. They're little puffs of smoke. They're little... Just go out and watch the snow melt. There's a little snow that melts to nothingness. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I come to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith thy God. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. That ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and you shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem, the mother of us all, your mother. That's why you must be born from above. Not born again. That's a stupid translation. And if you're born from above, you're born from the first estate. And you can see then, you see this incredible mystery. You see that you were with him from the beginning. You see that after the flesh, you were Cain that slew Abel. You were Nimrod that chased the prophets. You were Nimrod that wanted to kill Abraham. You were Herod who slew the babies. You were Hitler. You were Bin Laden. You were the worst of the worst. But then the real you walked with you in the garden. Walked with him. Killed in Abel, was sold in Joseph, can you see why Paul said he was a chief of sinners? How can you, how can you have a cause? Any response to any of this? I guess it's time to go. I saw the meaning, but it cost me my life. So I tried to prove that what I had seen in the conversion was wrong by the scriptures. And he fooled me. He proved that it wasn't wrong, not to me, by his word. Who would have thought that you had to die? It's throughout the scriptures. But it's not taught, and it wasn't taught in any one place I went. If I'd have found the place, Trinity Foundation wouldn't have existed. Can you see why it's as natural as breathing to love the brethren, to love your neighbor? Because it's him. It's not you. You're gone. You're dead. But you must be willing to revenge any disobedience, because a disobedience will come. You'll give breath to some harebrained thought, but you can't. You can't resurrect a part of the evil one. It's either all or nothing. So you use your mind for something you think is really important, and all of a sudden you wonder why your prayers aren't answered. Because you resurrected the evil one without knowing it. That's his subtlety. As a serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Serpent, mind. As a serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. If you don't believe that, I think I just made that up. It's 2 Corinthians, verse chapter 11, verse something or other. 1 and 2. Somebody check that out, see if that's true.
Start in verse 1, it's verse 3. Would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in.
That was kind of close. All right. No one else?
Well, the serpent beguiled Eve by drawing her into what she already wanted, which was to know good from evil. Which, who doesn't?
Okay. I mean, we got to look at one scripture, and then we'll respond on it next time we meet. But go to Romans 8. Verse 20, one verse. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. The creature is you. You were made subject to vanity. You didn't have anything to do with it. But it happened that you would be subject to the same in hope. Why? What is going on? You understand? He could have created you so that you would automatically obey the laws of God. But then fellowship would have been impossible. And again, he wants your obedience. But obedience isn't what you think obedience is. obedience is that no matter what circumstance you're in, you still hear his mystery. You still know you're totally his. You never are tempted to lean on your own arm. And in doing so, I mean, the example I always use is probably stupid, but it's the only one I can think of. If God came in the room and you knew it was God, and he told you to go kick the wall, then everybody in here would run and kick the wall. But God wants you to kick the wall without him telling you. And the only way you can do that is by being subject to the vanity, the futility, and have tried everything in your mind. And by empathy and by experience, you see the stupidity of everything except him. Then obedience is as automatic as breathing. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of the Lord of God and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven speaking. Yea, saith the Spirit, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. That's everything. Dead, 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 die. Not trying to die, that's a contradiction in terms. To see yourself as dead, the only way you see yourself as dead is to ignore your mind and your emotions. They are meaningless. See through them. And that ignoring or emptying is called repentance. And it must be constant. It's a way of life. Amen? Somebody argue. Somebody say, no, that's not right.
Does it take a lot of time for this to happen?
Only if you're rebellious. Or like me, trying to figure a way out of it. All right, take a big gun.